Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back to a Donnie Football Friday. It's time for our friend Nick Kostos, the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Check out the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the BetQL network and watch from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on NBC Sports Now on Peacock. Nick, I don't know if you are aware of this, but I quoted you in a column I wrote this week for the Post-Gazette under the headline, "Are the Kansas City Chiefs the most hated team in American sports history?" You tweeted out during the game the other day that the Chiefs hate is basically at an all-time high here, and you've never seen a team, even the Patriots, that were as reviled as the Chiefs, correct?
Yeah, been on social media for a long time, guys. The reactions, and to be fair, and I have the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. I bet them last week. I wanted them to win. They definitely got a favorable whistle last week against the Texans. And you know, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. You can't be flopping like a Brazilian soccer player and begging for calls the way he does. It's pathetic. Like, he's way too good for that. It, seriously. Like, it's lame when he gets hit and he's, like, looking to the referee for the flag. It's like, come on, Pat. Like, don't do that. Yeah, everyone hates them. And I tweeted that I think more people hate the Chiefs now than hated the Patriots. And the responses I got all seem to confirm that, which is nuts to me because, I don't know, it feels like everyone hated the Patriots way more than they hate the Chiefs. But now, maybe recency bias. And people said to me, a lot of people, we hated the Patriots because they were good and we respected them. The Chiefs actually suck and they get lucky and helped by the refs. And my response to these people would be like, does your brain work? Like, do your brains collectively work to say something like that and actually believe it? Like, come on.
Nick, I'll jump to you, to Donnie, in a second. I have a number for you before you give me a number today. The Chiefs have played 12 playoff games at home under Mahomes, 12 of them. The penalties opponents compared to the Chiefs in those 12 games are 75 for the opponents and 54 for the Chiefs. It's just, it's more than just fantasy to me. When you go to Arrowhead, you're facing a lot.
Who cares?
I do.
Who cares?
Because I grew up in Buffalo. Well, I want them to win. And you just admitted,
they got
a favorable whistle.
Yeah. But guess what? Like, I'm a new, you see behind me, for people watching on video, you see that Knicks thing behind me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in the 90s. Guess what happened every single time the Knicks played the Bulls? Guess who got every call? Michael Jordan. The Steelers got stuffed in a locker every time they played Brady and Belichick in a big spot. Brady and Belichick got all the calls.
Yes.
Kobe and Shaq got all the calls.
Including one game that was fixed. Yes.
I mean, sure, whatever. It doesn't matter. My Yankees got all the calls. Like, great teams and the biggest superstar players get the calls. So my thought is always this when it comes to sports betting. You've got two options. You can bitch about it or you can bet on it. Like, we can bitch and moan that Mahomes gets all the calls, or we can say, he never loses. Let me bet on him to win. And then when he gets the calls, you can be really happy about it. That's how I choose to play this.
I'd rather bitch about it, Donnie, but go ahead.
See, Nick, I'm with you. I mean, the way it has been the last couple of years, especially, if Mahomes is healthy and it's late January, I know who I'm betting on, and it's the guy that wears number 15.
He doesn't lose. I guess like he lost to the Bengals and he lost a couple times to Brady, once with the Patriots, once with the Bucks. So it's not like invincible.
Yeah.
But yeah, and like the Bills can win, of course. The point spread of the game is 1.5 on Sunday. And I was way wrong last week. Joe, I have to give the Bills credit, right? I love the Ravens. That was a big loser for me. So I certainly don't get everything right. It's just like what Donnie said. You pick the winner of the game, Mahomes or Allen, Reed or McDermott, and I'm at home. And I get the home team. And I get Mahomes. So it's a bet that I make 100 times out of 100. It doesn't mean it's going to win. You know, Josh Allen's not turning the football over now. He gets a lot of credit for that. I'll just make the bet on Kansas City, and I'll feel awesome about it. Like, when the game kicks off on Sunday, I'll feel pretty confident that Kansas City's going to find a way to win the game.
How do you feel about the NFC game and how that spread's looking around a touchdown?
So not as good as I do about the AFC game, which is basically like, will the Chiefs win or not? That seems like a bet I would like to make on yes. This one's a little more complicated. So the betting market right now is Philly, almost a 6.5-point favorite. To me, this betting market is priced like Jalen Hurts is 100% healthy. And I don't think we know that that's the case. He hurt his knee at the end of the divisional game last week. Couldn't move, took a safety. They called that insane 2nd-and-7 run, and he lost yardage on it because he couldn't move. So I push back a little bit that the point spread should be this big, and I will give really surface-level analysis that I think is accurate here and might matter. And I will ask you guys this question, and anyone out there listening, answer this question in your head. Which team on Sunday in the Commanders-Eagles game has the better quarterback? And which team has the better head coach? I think it's Washington on both fronts. I will take Washington to cover the spread. I have a money line bet on the Commanders as well to win and go to the Super Bowl.
The quarterback seems obvious. Where do you see the differences with the head coaching?
Yeah, I think Sirianni strikes me as someone that makes it up as he's going along. He has been given a Ferrari of a roster. I think Howie Roseman might be the best general manager in all of sports. Mm-hmm. And he's like Helen Keller driving the Ferrari. He's trying not to crash. You listen to him talk, does he like inspire confidence in anyone? And look, like Dan Quinn back in the day coaching the Atlanta Falcons was so conservative, he should have had like MAGA tattooed on his forehead. And now, like, he's a swashbuckler, right? He's going for it on these fourth downs. He's not hashtag taking the points, which I love is just a general concept. All the people out there that are like, take the points as if it's an app. Like, you click a button on your phone and you click it and you get 3 points. You don't actually have to kick the field goal. It doesn't have to miss. Doesn't have to get blocked. You just get 3 points. So Dan Quinn's going for it on these fourth downs, and there's rhyme and reason to it. Sirianni, some of these decisions, like, what the hell is he thinking? And they've both been to a Super Bowl, so it's not like Sirianni's a terrible coach. I would rather have Dan Quinn making decisions for my team in a big spot than Nick Sirianni. So I give Quinn the edge. I give Daniels the edge. Doesn't mean the Commanders will win, but I do think they can keep the game close. I like the AFC game way more, though, betting-wise, than the NFC game.
All right, Nick, I know you have to run. I'll leave you with this. One, I have a John Starks poster in my man cave. It's the left-handed dunk along the baseline.
Yeah, May 25th, 1993.
Yes.
My sister's 7th birthday.
Yes. I didn't know that, but one of the great dunks in NBA history. Secondly, give us a player bet, player prop, something, anything from one of these two games that's a great one.
And I'll just add, you know, the game that took place a couple games after that Starks dunk, Charles Smith was fouled 19 times under the basket in Game 5 in 1993.
See what I mean? You're not allowed to bitch about that. Just beat him.
Oh, I'm a Knicks fan. I will bitch about it until the day I die. Yes, absolutely. Let's take the squarest bet imaginable. And actually, there'll be two bets associated with this. So think about how the Bills defend Patrick Mahomes and how it's different from how other teams defend Patrick Mahomes, specifically with his legs. And the stats in the recent meetings between these teams bear this out. Where Sean McDermott, to his credit, I don't think he's a great, like when the pressure gets really high, I don't think he's a great decision maker. But credit to him for this, he is not going to let Mahomes beat him with his legs. So when you get in these obvious passing situations, 3rd-and-12, where like Mahomes runs for 13 yards against like every team and then he flops and like is looking for a whistle afterwards. The Bills are not going to let him do that. They're going to play man coverage and they're going to spy him. Now, the spy is likely to be by like the middle linebacker, right? Let's say it's Matt Milano is going to be the spy. So if that's the case on these third downs, and you have a linebacker or a safety, you know, shadowing Mahomes, spying Mahomes, who's covering Travis Kelce? Because you're going to need two guys on him. So it's the most square, obvious bet imaginable. Everyone's going to bet it, and I think everyone will win Travis Kelce over receiving yards. And if you want to play something else, I think Mahomes under rushing yards is worth a look as well for the same reason.
Nick, we appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you next week, and I just hope, can't you just let the Bills win once, that it's a Bills versus either team Super Bowl? Just let them go back one more time.
Joe, I'll say this. If it's Bills-Eagles, then the NFC East will get the chance, all four teams, to sweep the Bills in Super Bowl.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Giants, Redskins, Cowboys twice. All that was missing was the old Phoenix Cardinals back in the day.
No. Well, you just depressed me further. Thank you, Nick.
Sorry, buddy. Wishing everyone minimal sweats when he bets the absolute very best of luck.
Thanks, Nick.
What a nice man he is, huh, Donnie?
I love that little point he made at the end. I actually forgot about that.
The whole damn division.
Somebody enlightened me to that earlier in the week.
The Phoenix Cardinals with Neil Lomax. Who was their coach? I forget. Hannifin?
I have no idea.
That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Listen, please. Just let them win one. And I would have said the same thing about the Lions. I might even say the same thing about the Browns if they ever get this far. We've had this conversation, Ron and I. Who's the most tortured team in the NFL, the most tortured fan base in city? I'm going to argue it's Buffalo. Who would you say?
I would probably say the Bills or Browns. I mean, the Bills have had much better teams, and like they've gotten on that the precipice of greatness so many times. I mean, the four straight Super Bowl losses are incredible. But, I mean, you also got to experience the ride to that, which...
True.
Which Cleveland, at least in modern times... hasn't gotten to do.
Donnie, it doesn't mean as much if you don't win it. Especially if you go four consecutive times and you don't
that,
win it at all.
I mean,
you know?
the first time,
I'm sure, is great. But yeah. After that, oh, man.
No. We still, after the first time, we got to experience the greatest comeback in NFL history.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that you can't take that, though, at least, and appreciate, like, man, they won the AFC four times in a row.
But it's a double-edged sword, and
yes,
I thought this is where you were going with it. Here's the difference between the Bills, the Lions, and the Browns. I know you can throw in, I guess, the Cardinals. The Cardinals have never won, have they? They went to one, correct?
Correct.
They played the Steelers, yeah.
Yeah, they went to one. Who else has never won?
Jacksonville,
Minnesota.
Houston, Minnesota.
Jacksonville, Minnesota, Houston.
Carolina's been there a couple of times, but they're newer. So
right.
Is Jacksonville.
Tennessee.
Yeah. So it's a question of the nature of how you lose. And you maybe unwittingly touched on it. See, the suffering becomes greater the closer you get. So, yes, Bills fans got to enjoy the great years, even when they were losing Super Bowls. Greatest comeback in NFL history, beating Marino in Miami in an AFC title game, beating Elway in Buffalo 10-7. Great games for years and years. But Donnie, if you get the Detroit Lions they've had the kind of suffering where you're never even close, so you don't even worry about it. You don't get your hopes up and then crushed. You know you suck for eternity, right? It's different and worse, I would argue, if you get this close to the dream and it gets taken away. If you never really have the dream anyway, then where's the true suffering? That just kind of sucks. Your day-to-day existence. If you want to ask the most beautiful girl in school to the prom, and you live a life where that never becomes a reality, then how crushing really is it? If you actually have the guts to ask her and she says maybe or yes and then says no, then that's crushing. And that's been the Bills, to a certain extent the Browns, with the drive and the fumble. I mean, when you start naming the biggest tortures of your fandom, when they have names for them, you're in a bad way. But the Browns have never even gotten to a Super Bowl.
But the Browns also had their team ripped away from them for
That's
4 years.
Good point there.
And then they've been horrific ever since they've come back, other than a year or two.
But they've never really had a chance, so where's the suffering?
Having the team taken away.
The team taken away is a good point. But I would argue it's Bills 1, Browns 2. Vikings are up there too, by the way. The old Greg Giannotti's. They've had some very, very close calls.
98, they should have won it all.
They lost Super Bowls.
15-1 in 98.
Yeah, right, and Gary Anderson missed that field goal. I think it goes most tortured fan bases, Bills 1, Browns 2, Vikings 3.
I think that's a pretty good list. I mean, if people want to flip-flop 1 and 2, they can.
Yeah.
But
do you like the prom analogy, Donnie?
I do. I do like that one.
Limits, did you like that one? Did you relate? How would you rank the most tortured fan bases?
I would put, are we going to let that go, Donnie?
What happened?
Never mind.
Did that actually happen to you, Limits?
No.
Oh, did you say that?
Do you relate to that?
Oh, I didn't mean it that way. No.
I think the Browns are one, just because of the reasons that
I gave. Wait, did that happen to you?
No. I thought you were asking if that was the case.
That's what I thought when you said, do you relate to that?
Oh, no. I don't know what I meant by that.
not having a team for five years would be brutal.
Yeah. And then the Bills.
I don't know. I've actually had people say, I had someone say this to me last week. They said if the Pirates left would mean a change in ownership, they would sign up for it on the hope the team would return like the Browns did.
What?
Yeah.
No. I don't think they'd come back. If they leave, they're not coming back.
The Browns did.
See, but with how strong fandom is and passion is for football, would people sign up for that if it was the Steelers?
Absolutely. Of course not. And they wouldn't sign up for this either with the Pirates.
No.
But I think there are people out there who have reached that level of frustration. And you want to talk about the most tortured fan bases and expand this to all of sports. The Pirates are up there.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
I mean, I've witnessed 3 good seasons in my whole life. Almost 30 years.
Some people have never gotten over the slide in 92. I mean, and I don't blame them.
Like I said, when you start nicknaming your biggest tortures, I mean, the Bills have the wide right more than once. They have 2 wide rights. End of conversation. They have 2 wide rights. It's like, what did they call this? The slide. That's like the Pirates having 2, not 1 Sid Bream, but 2. And I haven't even mentioned the Music City Miracle where they lost on a freaking lateral on a kickoff late in the game.
The drive and the fumble don't come close because it was the Super Bowl for you? Obviously.
The drive and the fumble were torturous. Yes. That's why I have the Browns 2nd. Now imagine if one of those nicknamed torture chambers happened twice.
Wasn't there a third?
Happened twice.
Wasn't there a third nicknamed play for Cleveland too, other than the drive and the fumble?
Was there, Donnie?
Well, in basketball, you had the shot. Jordan hit one against the Cavs.
I was at that game. Believe it or not.
Is that the Craig Elo shot?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah, but that doesn't count. That's a different sport.
I didn't know if that's what he was referring to there.
No, I feel like there's a third Browns play. I've watched the documentary on the Four Falls of Buffalo.
Yeah.
And there's a documentary on Cleveland suffering, too, and I've watched both of those a couple times. And there's a third play that they mention.
Limits, they've had wide right twice. Norwood in the Super Bowl, and last year playing at home against Kansas City, going to overtime. Tyler Bass, who has some interesting nicknames given by angry Bills fans, missed a 27-yard field goal.
Remember when Blair Walsh missed a 19-yard field goal? It's like 19, 21 yards or something outside in the college stadium, Minnesota stadium.
I would argue that the Bills fan base might be the most tortured in all of sports history. Who else would it be, Donnie? Modern history. Who else could it be? Baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Who's the most tortured fan base on earth?
Yeah, I mean, thinking of other sports too, like this one was only applicable up until 2004. You could have said the Red Sox, but then they finally got it, and they've been probably the most successful overall in baseball for the last 20 years.
Yeah, same with the Cubs. I'm looking at a listing of the 25 most miserable fan bases in all of sports. by ESPN a couple of years ago. Want me to go 10 to 1?
Sure.
In order. So 10, and this was from 2020, so somebody might have won it since then. 10 is the Detroit Lions. Hard to argue with that. Before last year, they had one playoff win in 62 years.
I do think they belong on like the Mount Rushmore of the NFL in this argument.
The Buffalo Sabres, they haven't won a playoff series since 2007. They've never won the Stanley Cup, and you had the Brett Hull in the crease, no goal. They sort of speak for themselves as I look at the camera with my Buffalo Sabres hat on. The Baltimore Orioles, how are they tortured? How are they the eighth most tortured?
Was this before they, what year was this again that this got
2020.
Written?
Now they got good again. I understand that, but they've also won World Series in their past.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. The Miami Dolphins, that's ridiculous. They had an undefeated season. Now this was maybe, they were doing it at the present time when the Orioles were losing hundreds
maybe
of games.
Maybe it was like since 2000, I don't know.
Cleveland Browns is 4. San Diego Padres is 3. Buffalo Bills is 2. And the Sacramento Kings is 1. Although they have started to win since then a little bit.
They just fired their coach a couple weeks ago.
Right. I do get that. They haven't won a championship since moving to Sacramento in 1985 and didn't win one before that. They had a game that was fixed that we just referenced with Kostos against the Lakers in 2002.
Was that a Tim Donaghy special?
Yeah. Yeah, he was calling that game. So, I don't know, man. I honestly think the Bills might have the most tortured fan base.
Limits, we also got help via the text line from a few people. It was Red Right 88.
Yes,
that's the play.
That's the play.
Red Right 88.
Red Right 88 was the play, the interception.
All right. It's time for Bechtold's Breakdown. That was a wonderful conversation. Hey, did you guys see what the Commanders defensive coordinator said about how they're going to treat Jalen Hurts if he gets out of the pocket?
I did not.
This was good stuff. It's getting played in Philly, maybe for more than what it was, but it's Joe Witt. He said, we've had a number of these guys that we've had to prepare for. The one thing is, if he's going to run the ball, and if the coordinator makes the decision for him to run the ball, we're going to treat him like a running back, and we're going to hit him that way. So that's their decision. If they want him to get hit the way he gets hit, if they don't, they'll keep him in the pocket. So that's what we're going to do. I love that, and it's true, and I think that Mahomes has contributed to other teams' desire to want to wreck quarterbacks. I'm not saying it wasn't there anyway, but if these guys with Mahomes leading the way are going to flop, are going to fake going out of bounds and turn it up, then other teams are going to say, and this is what these two Texans guys tried to do to Mahomes, they're going to say, you know what? If we're going to get screwed anyway by you and the officials,
get your money's worth.
We're going to get one real good shot on you. We'll see how that goes. What do you think, Donnie?
I mean, something else that on the Eagles side they have to be cognizant of is that Hurts is going into this game a little bit dinged up. He has that knee injury.
Yeah.
And you could tell in the later stages of that game last week, when it was still a game, even after Barkley had the long run, the Rams still had a chance. They were doing everything to not put either of those backup quarterbacks in the game, whether it was Pickett or McKee.
Yeah.
I'm not singling either one of those guys out. You could tell that Jalen Hurts was laboring, and they were doing everything to not have them in the game.
Are we all on the same page that if Kenny Pickett enters this game at any point, we're rooting for him? Are we all together on that? I am.
I would root for him.
I'm indifferent.
Although
indifferent on the entire thing.
I feel like I'm going into this game already like rooting so hard for the Commanders because I think they have my overall rooting interest.
Would it change with Pickett in the game?
Maybe a little, but I guess it would turn into a case of like, okay, I don't mind as much if either side wins.
Are you rooting for the Bills, Donnie?
I'm picking the Chiefs.
So you're rooting for the Chiefs?
Yeah.
That hurts. That really hurts, Donnie.
That hurts, Donnie.
How about you with Pickett?
It hurts me as well.
Indifferent, you said?
Indifferent. I mean, I don't think that they're going to win if Kenny Pickett plays.
That's a different question.
I also don't think that Washington has much of a chance in this game. I give Philadelphia like a 90% chance to win it. I don't see Washington coming away with this game. I think the Magic's going to run out.
We'll talk about that later in the show when we break down these games. These have also become familiar and friendly sounds. They indicate to us that it's time for the Bechtold Breakdown. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. A legendary quiz show coming up at the top of the hour. Austin will tell you about that in a moment, but first, let's go, man.
It's the Bechtold Breakdown for Friday, January 24, 2025, brought to you by our friends at Southside Plumbing and Heating and our good friend Jake, who listens all the time. We begin with James Harrison commenting on the coach, Mike Tomlin, again. Quote, if I'm the head coach of a football team and I've been the head coach of this football team for 18 years and now the team's not doing well, that all has to fall on my shoulders because I've been here long enough to be able to draft who I want and put the guys in the positions that I need. For me to be like, I haven't been able to get this done or what, well, I'm the guy who's supposed to be getting that, and I've been here long enough to do it. How about James Harrison now bringing the axe down on Mike Tomlin?
We talked about this a little bit earlier, not as in-depth as this will be, and yeah, James Harrison kind of throwing stones from a glass house here. He wasn't exactly the culture setter that he thinks he was, at least at the end. I mean, the guy, you know, sleeping in the meetings, you know, screwing right. around, whatever it may be, worked his way out of here before he got signed by the Patriots. That doesn't mean he's incorrect, though, with how things have gone.
Right. Oh, and not only is he correct, he touched on the point that so much of the national media never hit on. They act like Mike Tomlin is a victim of his roster mm-hmm. and not an architect of his roster. And Adam Schefter put it even better than James Harrison. He said, you can't tell me Tomlin doesn't have the loudest, most prominent voice in that organization. So the fact they've been unable to get the quarterback is as much on him as the playoff losing streak. You're right, Adam Schefter. You're right, James Harrison. Now go back to sleep because we're in a team meeting.
Patrick Mahomes doesn't think that the Chiefs get a lot of calls, guys, but the Dan Patrick Show broke it down. In 11 playoff games since 2021, the Chiefs have only been called for 36 penalties and their opponents 66. It's 220-plus extra penalty yards in favor of Kansas City. Every single game, the opponent of the Chiefs had more penalties than the Chiefs did.
The savvy old news hound broke that up before the show today. In 12 home games, opponents of the Chiefs have gotten 75 penalties and the Chiefs have gotten 54. We just saw a game where the Texans doubled them up, where the Chiefs weren't called for an obvious hip drop tackle, an obvious offside on what was a Texans field goal miss, and the Chiefs' right tackle jumped early on every single play. And I haven't even mentioned Mahomes flopping around and getting two roughing calls. It's a joke. It really is. And then Costos tells me, I'm bitching and moaning about this, but when we go back to the New York Knicks and Charles Smith getting fouled 18 times, then he's the one who's bitching.
I do think it is a truism, though, what Nick said about dynastic teams or great teams, elite teams in American sports especially.
Yes.
They do get the special treatment. Now, I mean, really the only North American sport where we don't see that is hockey, is in the NHL. Or else I think the Penguins would have been on the end of good luck with the officiating at some of their peaks. But we absolutely see it in the NFL. You see it in the NBA with their stars. You see it in baseball, depending on the team and the circumstance. It's just, unfortunately, how it has been for a while. I think it just gets elevated even more now. Plus, people today, like in today's world more than ever before, since they have the access to it so easily, I feel like they will take advantage of that and go back and see specifically with these Chiefs, because we're in.
I mean, they won a Super Bowl on an unbelievably ticky-tack holding call late in the game. Won a Super Bowl on it. You're right about that. And
but they will go back and like dissect every single official, how they call these games, how they call that game.
As well they should.
Really do that way back when.
As well they should. And now I see Taylor Rapp, by the way, incidentally, and sorry to interrupt, is out for the Bills, meaning a rookie, Cole Bishop, will start at one of the safety spots. What are we doing here? We're all, I think, a lot of America's wishing this victory, trying to manifest a victory. It's Andy Reid against Sean McDermott and a banged-up Bills defense. It's going to take Josh Allen playing Superman like he never has before, and that might not even be enough. The last time he was in Kansas City for a playoff game, he was Superman. He got them the lead with 13 seconds left, and McDermott still blew it. It's not happening.
Joe,
I'm
how
sorry.
Much do you believe in history and, you know, numbers based off of history that can prove the opposite of an outcome? And what I mean by that is no quarterback has ever beaten another quarterback four straight times in the playoffs. If Patrick Mahomes wins, it would be four times in the playoffs.
Guess what else limits? No team's ever lost four Super Bowls in a row. If anybody's capable, it's the Bills. By the way, I saw another number. Josh Allen has started more playoff games, played in more than anybody in history who didn't go to a Super Bowl. He has started 13 playoff games and hasn't been to a Super Bowl. Nobody else has done that.
Isn't it crazy, Donnie, that I'm the one more like excited for Buffalo and think they have a better chance than the Buffalonian himself?
You haven't, haven't lived the torture limits.
I think that's a pretty good point.
That's fair.
Yeah, and Joe, you've been down on this since they won the game last week.
Yeah. I mean, the Ravens handed them a game. They were outplayed in that game, and Lamar and Mark Andrews and John Harbaugh and the crew handed them a game, which is great. I mean, they still did some good things. This is a different animal. You're going into Foxborough to face the healthiest, most rested team in the playoffs and one that almost never loses at home when it matters.
Yeah, they're not that team, the Chiefs, will not hand you what the Ravens handed you.
No.
Never.
Never.
Did the new Bears head coach throw some cold water on the what could have been Bears head coach? Ben Johnson said, modern football in the NFL is quarterback driven. You could look at the analytics, but the key indicator of what he said was, quarterback success is a higher predictor of winning and losing than turnover ratio. Subtle shot at Mike Tomlin a little bit, Joe?
I don't think he was thinking about Mike Tomlin, no, but I was more interested in him taking a not veiled at all, just an open shot at our friend Guy Lafleur. Did you guys see that?
I know is the toughest division of football right now. There's three teams that made the playoffs this year. I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. Haven't competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
I think Guy's going to be unhappy with that. Who is this guy? Do you like him walking through like that, Donnie?
I kind of do. I feel like we don't get some of those barbs as much nowadays as we maybe did back in the day or even like 20 years ago. Plus, I was just thinking while we got into this conversation, if he works out there and becomes a pretty good coach, I don't think there's a stronger division of head coaches in football right now. It'd be all four guys, all pretty young and all pretty good.
I'll raise you the AFC West right now after Sean Payton just went to the Raiders with Harbaugh, Andy Reid, and Sean Payton.
Carroll.
Well, how are you ever supposed to win if you have one other good team in your division? Didn't we hear that this week, Donnie?
That is true, yeah. I mean, we're going to deal with the Ravens. I don't know how it's going to be done.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you can never win if there's another good team in your division.
The only argument I would make against there is all those guys are going to age out within
who?
The AFC West coaches. All of those guys are kind of legendary in their own right. They've been winners all along, but they're all 60-plus.
But I will say that the Chiefs' road is about to get a lot harder because now the AFC West is beefing up big time with at least the Chargers and the Broncos. In this seven-year run, seven straight AFC title games for the Chiefs, how many playoff wins does the whole rest of their division have?
I don't think any.
One.
One. The Chargers had a win. In fact, they beat the Ravens.
Oh, yes, yes. That was Lamar's rookie year, I think. Yeah. So think about how long ago that was.
Yeah.
7 years?
Just about, right?
6 or 7 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Last one for you, Joe. The highest graded running backs from the 2024 season, according to PFF, were Ashton Jeanty, no surprise there, Cam Scataboo of Arizona State, Damian Martinez of Miami, Jeremiah Love of Notre Dame, and also thrown in there in the top 10 was Quinshon Judkins, who just declared for the draft. Interested in any of those backs? Gentile will be a first-round pick, but any of the others in the second or third round as a compliment to Jalen Warren?
No, I think you can get a guy later. The guy Ray has from Kansas. I'm just interested in somebody who averages more than 2.77 yards per carry in the playoffs like Najee did in his career. I don't think that should be hard to find.
Judkins will be their third-round pick.
Cam Scatabu will be their third-round pick.
He's a scat back.